Talking about trends in the church, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to read an article from Charisma editor Lee Grady. And it's both an appalling article as well as, from my perspective, encouraging. Encouraging in the sense that Lee Grady, who's editor at Charisma magazine, which features all kinds of the wackiest people within the historic Christian faith, or what's now called evangelicalism, he writes this article, and as the editor of Charisma, again, a magazine that showcases some of the wild and wacky preachers of modern evangelicalism, he takes on a virus of what he calls celebrity Christianity, and I applaud him for that. But this is what Grady says. He says, the deadly virus of celebrity Christianity, some big headed preachers demand rock star treatment. If the Apostle Paul were around today, says Grady, he might throw rocks at them. Here's the article. Grady writes, just when I thought we charismatics, and he counts himself as one of them, had finally taken enough abuse from the egomaniac ministers in our midst, I've learned that some of our leaders are taking things to a new extreme. We've moved beyond the red carpets, limousines, and entourages of the 1990s. A new strain of the celebrity virus is spreading in large segments of the church. One friend of mine, says Grady, in Texas recently inquired to see if a prominent preacher could speak at her conference. The minister's assistant faxed back a list of requirements that had to be met in order to book a speaking engagement. The demands included, catch this, a five-figure honorarium, a 10,000 gasoline deposit for the private plane, a manicurist and hairstylist for the speaker, a suite in a five-star hotel, a luxury car from the airport to the hotel, and room temperature Perrier. So you got, what, one, two, three, four, five, six things that are the requirements. Those are the entrance requirements to get the speaker. Anyway, Grady goes on to say, this really makes me wonder how the Apostle Paul, Timothy, or Priscilla managed ministering to so many people in Ephesus, Corinth, and Thessalonica. How did they survive without a manicurist if they broke a nail while laying hands on the sick? I was relieved to know, says Grady, that this celebrity preacher's requirements in 2007 did not include a set of armed bodyguards, because I just might want to jump uninvited into a Rolls Royce and say a few words. It gets worse, if you can believe it. At a charismatic conference in an East Coast city recently, a pastor stood on a stage in front of a large crowd and smugly announced that the guest speaker was more than an apostle. Then the host asked everyone to bow down to the person, claiming that this posture was necessary to release God's power. This is the only way you can receive this kind of anointing, the host declared, bowing in front of the speaker. Immediately, about 80% of the audience fell prostrate on the floor. The few who were uncomfortable with the weird spiritual control in the room either walked out or stood in silent protest. So today, I guess, it's not enough to feed a celebrity preacher's ego by treating him like a rock star. We also are required to worship him. And apparently in some places, you even have to pay big bucks to speak with him. In a city in the South, a well-known preacher is known to ask for money in order to secure a 5 to 10 minute counseling session. The minister uses Proverbs 18:16. Which says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men to support the bizarre practice. Some people are known to give more than $1,000 for a short meeting. People on fixed incomes need not apply. That would include lepers, blind beggars, Samaritan women, or any other social outcasts who are welcomed and healed by Jesus without payment. What has become of the American church? Asked Grady. What is this sickness spreading in the body of Christ? I don't know whom to blame more for it. The narcissistic minister who craves the attention or the spiritually naive crowds who place these arrogant people on their shaky pedestals. All I know is that God is grieved by all of this, this shameful carnality. How far we have fallen from authentic New Testament faith. Paul, who carried the anointing of an apostle, but often described himself as a bondslave, told the Thessalonians, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. New Testament Christianity is humble, selfless, and authentic, and those who carry the truth don't preach for selfish gain or to meet an emotional need for attention. May God help us root out the false apostles and false teachers who are making the American church sick with their man-centered, money-focused heresies. Again, this article, I think, is very significant because it's not just coming from anyone. It's coming from the editor of Charisma magazine, Lee Grady. And I applaud him for the courage to write an article like this. Again, the article is titled Fire in My Bones by Lee Grady, and I don't think it could be said better. It's kind of interesting that I wrote a book called Christianity in Crisis, and that book was really demeaned by the leaders of Charisma magazine and went on to be a bestseller and is still available, but it points out the fundamental flaw that has led to many of these preachers who are now burgeoning and communicating this false kind of consumerism and extravagance and the health and wealth gospel today. So I find it extraordinary that a magazine that endorses or promotes people like John Hagee or Rod Parsley or Miles Monroe, a heretic if ever there was one, would write an article like this. And again, kudos to Lee Grady.